The rain hasn't kept her away. Judy Sharp is here. Hello.
Hello, Amanda. I'm so excited when I hear you talking about the weather and the rain might keep coming.
Yes.
Fantastic. We really, really need it.
We do. And, you know, it's helping with the bushfires too.
Yeah. And that's been a real problem.
So, it has. So today, what's on the cards?
On the cards today, I have been just noticing the crepe myrtles this summer. The colours are magnificent. You're now seeing more whites and you're seeing more vibrant colours, real bright reds and pinks. And I don't know whether our listeners are noticing them, but I have because they've been exceptional this summer.
Well, I have a confession because I don't actually know what a crepe myrtle is.
Well, we'll have a look.
We'll have a look.
No, they are beautiful. They're deciduous, mm-hmm. and they all flower at this time of year once they come into bud. And they're in a lot of gardens now. They're very, very popular.
Right. Well, if I have a look, I like them enough, I might get them in my garden.
Well, I've noticed the council are planting them in the streets.
Oh.
Yeah, which is nice, isn't it?
Lovely.
Yeah, give us a bit of colour.
Good on them. We've got Ken from Lawn on the line. Hi, Ken.
How you going?
Good, thank you.
Hello, Ken. How are you today?
Yeah, not bad, Judy. How you going?
Very well. What problems are you handling?
Judy, two questions if I could, please.
Yes, certainly.
First of all, I've got an orange tree. It's in the ground now. I've had it in the ground for about 6 months. And down the bottom of it, there's all these shoots coming up. And I just wondered, do you take them off or what do I do with them? All the little green little stems coming out along the bottom of the branch, you know?
Righto, Ken. And now they're coming up below the graft, above the graft, aren't they? What you need to do is cut them off and then just get a little bit of sandpaper and rub the shoot. You have to deter that from happening. You know, if you've only planted it that short time ago, you know, that's a shame because the graft shouldn't do that.
Well, it's healthy. I'm looking at it from a distance, but it's healthy. It's about 3 foot high. But I just thought about all those shoots coming up. That was all.
No. We have to eliminate those, Ken. Okay. So, yeah, but sandpaper them back a little bit and that's a deterrent.
Right, we'll get on to that one. Now, the second question I'd like to ask you.
Yeah.
I've put in 2 packets of petunia seeds and haven't had any success at all. What's the secret?
When did you put them in?
Last year, probably October and then December.
Oh, October should be the right time, September, October.
Okay.
Yeah, coming up to December, it might have been getting a bit hot for them too.
Okay, because I had no success. Nothing's come up and I've got the right stuff, you know, the right
You've got seed-raising mix?
Yeah.
You're right, okay.
And I thought, well, I'm just not successful at growing little plants and I wanted to grow some because wife's got a lot of my garden, you know.
Yeah, well, Ken, you know what? Why don't you just buy the petunias already in seeds, growing?
We've been doing that for years.
Right,
This might be a cheaper way of doing a lot of plants because we've got quite a large garden and we'd like to put more in than just buying a little punnet each time.
Yeah, well, it is cheaper, of course, and if you've got a lot of gardening to do, why not try it again? But do the seed-raising mix.
Yep.
And are you putting them straight in the garden beds?
No, I've just got a little seed box, you know.
Oh, right. And were you watering them regularly?
Yeah, well, that's the thing I was going to ask you. Do you have to keep it wet all the time?
Just probably water once a day. I mean, we haven't had a good year this year, have we, sir?
No, and in a shady spot or half shade?
I think they need a little bit of morning sun.
Right, okay. And then put them out, sort of give them a bit of this afternoon protection sort of thing.
Yes, I think so. That's probably the answer.
Right, then. Well, we'll give that a go. And I've got another packet here, you see.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, good luck with that because we are coming up to autumn now. But, once the rain goes, we might get a bit more heat.
And, Judy, the best time of the year to do those is what, September, October?
Yeah, look, and, I think sometimes even late August.
Okay.
You know, keep your eye out, Ken, when you're seeing them available in the punnets.
Yep.
And, that'll give you a bit of indication. Although they have a method of germinating them, but I reckon if you look around about August and if you see them for sale, well, then put your seeds in then.
Right, and then, okay, well, thanks for your help.
That's okay. Good luck. Let us know next year how you go.
Yeah, I'll pass it on to the boss gardener here.
Make sure you do.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks, okay. Ken.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Next, we've got Carmen from Millfield. Hi, Carmen. How can we help?
Well, I'm not too sure if you can. I've got two huge palm trees, and they drop thousands and absolute thousands of these orange balls, about as big as small apricots. Now, I don't mind cleaning them up. That's the least of my worries. But there's a little mini horse lived next door, and I was wondering if they were to bounce over the fence, which they could do because they fall from a great height, would they be poisonous, and do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, look, I think they're seeding. They're seeding, but I don't know which palm tree you're referring to, of course.
They hang in great clusters, then they all fall down. They're bright orange, and they're about as big as a small apricot.
Right, okay. And will they go over the fence to the horse?
Well, I'm wondering if they do go over the fence, would they be poisonous?
Well, you know, not having an idea which palm tree it is. Look, honestly, I think that they're just seeds. They're just seeds, but...
Well, they do break down. Those that have broken down go into a dark grey seed. So maybe they wouldn't hurt him at all, but I'd hate to do the wrong thing by him. He's a lovely little horse.
And Carmen, and you know, there are certain trees that when they do drop the seed are poisonous. And I remember once a vet contacting me about particular seeds, and it was very strange. When I checked it all out, there was only one variety of this tree that the seeds were poisonous.
Yes.
And this horse had eaten those particular ones, but he saved the horse, but he wanted to know for future reference, you know. But it was only one variety of this big group of trees. So, look, I think you've got to be a bit careful, Carmen.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Thank you for your help.
That's okay. Good luck with that. I hope the horse doesn't eat them.
He seems fine at the moment. He's only a little fellow, and I love him dearly. And I'd hate to do anything wrong by my neighbours. But I was just wondering if you knew... I do feel you are right. They are only seeds.
Yes, but...
But
they could be only seeds.
How would I find out?
Oh, look, you probably have to take them... to a nursery or somewhere and get them to ID them. As I said, a vet brought some in to me, but it turned out it was just this one tree, a part of the group. So, you know, without knowing which exact palm it is, your hands are tied, but maybe your neighbours will sweep them up for you.
No. Anyway, we'll leave that as it is.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Good
Bye.
Luck with that, Carmen. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Next, we've got Robin from Karooa. Hi, Robin.
Hello, darling. I've got a very, very handy hint. When we moved from Sydney up to Karooa, my maiden hair firm looked dead and so miserable. So I set fire to it. And you should see it now.
Did you? You set fire to it. Did you take it outside to do that?
Of course.
Well,
but
I look.
I did set fire to it, and it's in a huge, big pot, and I've got to divide it again.
Well, Robin, were you listening last week when I was talking about my maiden hair?
No.
Oh, I thought that's why you were ringing today to shake me up.
I did hear something about maiden hair last week, but I came in halfway through.
Yeah, well, Robin, my method is I spray them one day, you know, with a spray bottle, and then I water it the next day. And I do that constantly, particularly through summer.
Yeah, make sure they're very damp. But I've got to split this because it's choking in that big pot.
But I've never burnt them, Robin. I've never burnt them.
Well, I don't know what made me burn it. To this day, I don't. I just sort of, well, it looks dead, it looks horrible, I just burn it, hopefully it'll grow again.
Well, now you've got to keep the water up to it, Robin.
I definitely, I mean, this is 10 years ago.
Oh, right, I was going to say put the fires out, we've had enough fires.
Oh, crikey, yes, but it does work.
Good, okay, look, thank you for that hint. I'm sure the listeners will appreciate hearing that, but I've got to suggest to them... You've got to take it outside, haven't you, to burn it?
I did. I put it in the backyard.
Oh, good on you. Look, thank you for letting us know.
That's quite all right. And it was, well, we moved up here in September, so it wasn't extremely hot or any, you know.
Not like this year, dear.
Or a windy day, no.
No.
Okay.
Okay, look, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I'll remember that if mine plays up again.
All right, darling.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Robin. We've got Diane from Vasey on the line. Hi, Diane.
Hello, Di.
How can we help you?
First of all, I wanted to thank you because I had a whole pile of roses that were very burnt with all the very dry weather, and you told me to water. They have come back, thank God, and I have now got flowers.
Flowers, have you?
I have flowers. Oh, so I've been picking them madly as it's whenever we get, like today with the rain, I've picked them before they get destroyed. So what I'm ringing you for, I have a hibiscus that is in a pot, and I've got a feeling the pot is too small for it. It's starting to turn, the leaves are all starting to turn yellow, and they're just falling off, and the flowers are half the size they should be.
Okay, Diane. Now, when you say turning yellow, are you watering it every day?
I'm watering it as often as I water the other ones, and the other ones are fine, but this one is just turning yellow.
Okay, well, it needs probably a bigger pot, but it also needs maybe to have a little bit of, tiny bit of cow manure.
Right,
because hibiscus like an acid soil.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, the other ones I've been doing the same thing with them, and they're fine. All the other ones I've got are fine, and I've been giving them potash every second weekend, and started doing sea salt, the alternate. But I did make a little bit of a problem, and I picked up the wrong bottle, and I gave him the one that's turning yellow. I've given that power feed. Now, I think power feed has got too much phosphorus in it.
I think so, yes.
But I'm wondering, can I, because this thing's doing what it's doing and I need to put it in a bigger pot and I don't want to do that, can I pull that out and cut some of the roots off and the stems off and put it back in the ground and see what it does?
Oh, I think you can, Diane, but not at the moment. It's too hot, okay? So you're going to have to bide your time and give it a couple of months and then do it when we get into autumn.
Oh, okay, all right. We'll just have to hope we don't kill it in the process.
But no more power food.
No, I won't be doing that. I've put the sea salt into one spot and the power food in a different place, so I'm right now. But I just wondered whether I can. So I've just got to have to wait if I put some cow manure on it.
No, that's good, but maybe make the cow manure into a liquid.
Right, okay.
And so you don't burn it, but I'd wait till the heat goes.
Yeah, okay. So I'll just have to see if it, because I know the stems are still alive.
Yeah.
But the leaves are falling off of, but they're just, the stems are still alive, but the leaves are just not coming through.
You know what's done that, don't you, is the power feed.
It's a power feed. Yeah, I know, but the point is I've given that to other ones and this hasn't happened.
Oh, well, the one you...
So I think it's a combination of the fact that it's in this too small a pot.
I think so, Diane.
I think that's what... I thought that myself, but I thought I can't really do anything until it comes to the time when I can actually do all this cutting off and...
You can cut off the leaves that are looking unhappy. That won't hurt.
They fall off.
Okay, rightio. Well, real problems at your place, Diane, at the moment.
I know.
Although the roses are good.
I've got a whole heap of other ones and they're all right. But this one is good. Just been there for too long, I think. And I think when I repotted it, I should have cut a lot of the roots off
I
did it.
Well, Diane, look, I hope we've given you some help there today.
No, that's fine. Not a problem at all.
Talk to us again.
I hope I don't lose it completely. And if not, I'll have to buy another one.
Okay.
Never mind.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Judy. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. In the meantime, Judy, we're talking about crepe myrtles. Just look that up. They're very pretty.
They're gorgeous, aren't they? Yeah, I told you. Very nice plant.
Yes.
And I think you were worried they might drop flowers like the jacarandas.
Yeah.
But the jacarandas are a lot bigger. These are a very controllable little tree. Yeah, really lovely. Yeah. So there is a couple of jobs they can do now it's raining. How about if they go out and cut off the dead stems on agapanthus? They're finished flowering.
Right.
And they look so ugly with their dead stems sticking up everywhere. I've noticed them as I'm driving around. And, of course, it has been too hot, Amanda, to go out and do those trivial jobs, but it is a good time now to do it. And perhaps give them a little bit of cow manure.
Okay.
Yeah, agapanthus love cow manure.
Okay, and I need to look up what agapanthus look like too.
Oh, you know them?
They've I probably know them if I see them, but I'm not really, you know.
They have lovely long stems of blue flowers or white flowers, and they come up out of a nice compact little bed.
Oh, yes, they're very pretty.
Aren't they lovely? Yeah.
Yes, and, agapanthus.
Yep.
Not thus. Okay,
no, agapanthus.
I'll fix that.
Yeah, it's time to cut off the stems, the dead stems. They're dead now. The flowers are finished.
Mm-hmm.
And give them some cow manure.
Right. Okay, and what about roses?
Well, roses, we did talk briefly about it last week. The roses are now, because we're getting towards the end of summer, they need, although that gentleman before said how much they were in flower, and mine are in flower too. So when they start to slow down, I think they've been stimulated by the rain, which has been really, really good. It's time then just to give them a summer prune, a light prune,
mm-hmm.
Just taking them down a little bit and give them some sudden impact.
Okay.
Definitely sudden impact after they prune them. And that'll keep them flowering right up till pruning time.
Wonderful. Mm. Well, I know what a rose is and I know what a frangipani is, and we've got Dave from Cameron Park on the line to talk about those. Hi, Dave.
Hello. Hi, Dave.
Good, thanks. What's happening with the frangipanis?
I'm concerned that the frangipanis, the trunks and the branches, all look to have a whitish stuff on it. I think that must be a scale or something, and I'm not sure how to treat it or whether it's just something that I'm going to have to live with.
Oh, okay, Dave. No, you can sort that out. That's not a problem. So the frangipani seems healthy otherwise?
Oh, yeah, they're very healthy. They're covered in this white, patchy, blotchy on the trunks and branches, yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, probably what you need is something like copper oxychloride to give them a spray.
Oh. Okay, copper oxychloride.
Yeah, oxychloride. Yeah, or any kind of fungicide. Any kind of fungicide you might have in the cupboard. Not in the cupboard, in the garage.
I have tried a fungicide, but it doesn't seem to have done anything.
Right. Okay. Maybe go for the copper oxychloride then. It's a pretty good one.
All right. That's what I will try. And I thank you very much for your time.
That's okay, Dave. Thank you for the call.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Next, we've got Les from Boolaroo on the line. Hi, Les.
Oh, g'day, Judy. My problem is I recently pulled a passion fruit vine out of the garden, and ever since then I've had these weeds popping up all over the garden bed, and they climb up the fence, they climb all through the other shrubs there, and I just can't get rid of them. I've sprayed them and... I don't want to kill the shrubs. I can't spray them too much. But
yeah, but Les, you don't think they're related to the passion fruit, do you?
Well, I thought they may have been, yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Do they look similar?
No, nothing like it.
Nothing like them, okay. Look, probably you've just given the weeds space to pop up, I'd say, when you've pulled the passion fruit out.
Oh, right.
So you pulled it out, roots and all, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, you probably just need to give them a little touch with something like Zero.
Yeah, because there's dozens of them now. Just every morning you go out and there's another one about a foot high, yeah?
Yeah, so do you you're pulling them out as you go?
Yeah,
right,
they just keep coming back and they're a nuisance, aren't they?
Yeah, so when you dig them out, are you pulling the roots out and all? You're not kind of leaving the roots in there to shoot again?
Well, it's like as a big root, it's about 3/4 of an inch round.
Oh, right, okay.
And it sort of goes along the fence and it's going up, back up towards where the passion fruit vine was. But it's they're probably, you know, from where the passion fruit vine was down the garden about 6 or 7 metres, yeah. And
they're probably telling you they want you to move out and get a new garden. Now, Les, my suggestion is get some Xero, which you know what that is, and you know how to apply it by just putting gloves on, don't you?
No.
Okay, so you get rubber gloves and put the rubber gloves on, and then over the top you put on a cotton glove. So when you put your finger in the Xero, you're not touching the Xero. It's only going, it won't go through the glove.
Yep.
And then you just wipe your glove over the roots. So every time you see one popping up, or, you know, go along and wipe it over those long roots now.
Yeah. Righto then. I'll try that.
I know it's a bit painstaking, but it's definitely, Les, if you're having problems, that's the answer.
It's a pain just looking at them.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, off you go and give us a ring back and let us know what happens.
Thanks, Les.
Thanks, Judy. Bye.
Bye. We've got Diane from Raymond Terrace on the line. Hi, Diane.
Hello, Diane.
You there? Oh,
we've lost her.
We've lost Diane. Hang on a minute. Let me make sure it's not me. Hang on one. Are you there, Diane?
Yes, I am.
Oh, it was me. Sorry.
I'll sack her, Diane.
Oh, no, don't do that. I enjoy the show too much.
Oh, thank you.
Diane, now you've got some advice for me, have you?
The man with the passion fruit vine.
Yeah.
I feel for him because I had exactly the same problem and I tried Xero, but it got tangled up. Oh, it probably went about 5 metres past where the passion fruit were. The runners go under the ground and they just keep popping up. They got all tangled in my fittinia, in the salvias. The only way I could get rid of it, I poisoned just about everything in that area, which broke my heart.
Oh.
Then I thought I'd got rid of them. Xero killed for a little while, some of it, but I found the tree and blackberry killer. I've been putting that on.
Right.
And I haven't seen any for a while, but I went out there yesterday, and here's two more rotten runners. When I pulled the vine up, the runner was probably about 2 metres long, heading off under the fittinias again.
Right, okay, yeah, so they're very prolific.
Yet someone told me that my passion fruit might have been grafted and it might have come from the graft.
That could be the case too. And a lot of people just buy the grafts now.
I don't.
Well, you don't now. But, look, I think hopefully that gentleman, he will try. Did you spray yours for the Xero?
I've been doing it for nearly 2 years now.
Spraying, have you?
I sprayed it with the Xero. I tried painting it on the leaves.
Right.
And it would kill some back, but because the runners go so far, it didn't seem to
penetrate
right up the runner.
Right, right.
So in frustration, I got some tree and blackberry killer, and I seem to have had more success painting that on the leaves.
Right, okay.
And I thought I'd got rid of it, but I've had another couple come up yesterday, I've noticed.
Oh, gosh. Why would we plant one? Originally a passion fruit. People will stop planting them now, Diane.
No, just don't plant a grafted one. I've never had a problem until
I
had these
grafted ones
in.
Yeah, well, that's good advice, and I hope that gentleman's still listening today. Be interesting if his was a graft, wouldn't it?
Yes, it will be.
Yeah.
But I found I had more success with the paintbrush and the tree and blackberry killer.
Right. It's a good product, tree and blackberry killer.
Yeah. And swear under your breath.
But you have to be very careful with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it'll kill anything and everything.
Yes, that's exactly right. And he was worried because he had so many shrubs in around there.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it came up through salvias, it came up through the fittinias, and I didn't see it at first in the fittinias till a man came to prune them, and it had gone way up to the top of the fittinias, and it got tangled in the roses, it got tangled in the rosemary, it got tangled in, you name it. It just went right through my garden. It was terrible.
Now, this is curious, Diane, because I've been doing this program for just a couple of years, but I don't think I've ever encountered this before.
Right.
Till that gentleman rang today.
Well, as soon as I heard the story and I thought, yes.
Yeah, look, I'm so glad you rang. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And that also reinforces for him, I hope he's still listening, that it's nothing he's doing wrong.
No. No.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Diane.
Thanks very much, Diane. Bye.
Enjoy your show very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Just going to be a quick one with Brian. Brian, are you there?
Yeah. G'day. Yeah,
you've got a quick crepe myrtle question.
Yes. I've got a row of six crepe myrtles in front of my place. They're heavily in flower now, but they're also starting to get the little balls that they get usually after they flower.
Right, right.
But I've got a combination of both, the flowers and the little balls.
Right.
Now, what I normally do when they finish flowering, I cut them back to about half size. At the moment, they're 7 to 8 foot tall. So I generally don't wait for the normal time to prune them back.
I see, right.
I cut them back to about half size and then I've got a nice shrub. A small tree.
We'll have to hurry up.
Brian, I think
we're nearly out of time. Yes, darling. That's all right. Keep talking.
I think what you're doing is the very best way to go, Brian.
Yeah.
They are really a small tree, aren't they? You can keep them as a small tree.
Then later on, 6 months later, I cut them right back and I get all new growth.
Yeah. Brian, thanks very much for the calls because I just love them. I think they're beautiful. And I think the way you're operating is probably very good.
Trouble is, there's no bees.
Oh, no, there's no bees anymore. Not around, that's for sure.
No, usually they're loaded with bees. But I am getting some native bees.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much for the call, Brian. Appreciate it. We are out of time. Thank you, Judy. It's been lovely again. And we'll catch up with you next Monday.
Catch up next week.
See you then. Gardening Talk Back.